Hey, everybody. Welcome to church. It's so good to see you. I'm glad that you are all here, those of you that came to our location. For those of you that are tuning in online, we are so grateful to see you as well. Thanks for being connected to us. I love technology, and I love that we have the opportunity to connect this way. So thanks to those who are putting together watch parties. Maybe you want community, but you want it in a smaller way. Thank you guys for doing that. And then those of you that have just been super faithful to just continuing to tune in each week, we just truly, truly love and appreciate having this kind of connection. We can be this close even when we are separated by a measure of distance. And then for all of you that just are coming to the house and being in the building, it's really good to see you as well. Will you just give it up for the person who's online and then the person next to you? And come on, it's awesome. It's really awesome. Yeah. Love the energy. So I want to get right into it. We are in the third installment today of a message series we've been calling Standout. If you are new with us, maybe tuning in for the first time or visiting for the first time, maybe you've not been a part of the series, don't worry. I believe that today you'll be able to just take something from today's message by itself. But I really, really would encourage you, actually, if you've missed any of the installments of this series, to go back and watch them. I actually think it would benefit you a great deal. And really, here's the big idea. I'm going to do a little bit of review just to catch us up this morning. I'm going to be bringing you part number 3, and then 4 will be next week when we close out this series together. But here's what I want to kind of talk about is the reality of just COVID-19 and its impact on the world around us. This is honestly what I think caused God to stir my heart about this series, Standout, is because I think we all can admit, I don't think it takes a lot of effort to do so, that this whole pandemic has been frustrating, it's been difficult, it has brought enormous amounts of challenges, it has changed all of our lives in one way or another. There are people who are bothered by distances. They can't see certain people. People can't travel the way they used to. It's annoying to try to have a date because what do you do, right? Like that kind of stuff. People have lost their lives. People have had major problems with businesses. Some people have lost their businesses. I mean, the reality of this has been very sobering and very, very real. I think we all could agree. I honestly don't think that you would have to stretch to even say, yes, I can see that you're right. It has also brought some things that some people might consider benefits. Like, for example, there are some people that say, man, you know, the truth is I've never been home so much. I've never been with my family this much. I'm enjoying spending time with my kids or whatever it may be for some people has been beneficial. I've spoken to a few people who have said, man, I spend my life traveling. I'm always on the go. I'm on an airplane. I'm in a car. I'm constantly going somewhere. And I've spoken to 2 people recently who said, man, I haven't been on an airplane in months. I've been working from home. I've been seeing more of my family. And it's just been really, really wonderful. And so there have been some upsides in some people's lives. I think we also could admit that even if one is not you and the other one is, or vice versa, it's just real, right? That's fair enough to say. It's real. And the impact of it has been very, very real and very, very challenging. Here's one benefit that I have found for the church. And I don't mean Church on the Rock. I just mean the body of Christ. And the only benefit that I feel like, because I don't have a lot of nice things to say about this pandemic, but there's one thing that I feel like has been healthy for the church. And what it is this, that I think people are starting to really come alive and more aware of the reality that church is not a location. It is a people. This is good. Just the fact that I can stand here in real time and see you, I can stand here in real time and see you, and then some of you will watch or listen to this days and days later, and what it's doing for us is helping us to recognize that, like, we, the people, are the church, not the address or the buildings or the events that take place. And I like all those things. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I think they're very good, in fact. And in fact, Jesus said, hey, don't forsake, or was it the Apostle Paul said, don't forsake like getting together. This is healthy. You got to do this. Make sure you're still in community. And we're finding ways to do that, even through technology, life groups, and other forms. So you don't have to be at the location to have the benefit of the body. Is that making sense? To me, that's been one of the things that I've looked at and said, hey, this is good for the church. This has been good for us to come more, I don't want to use this word, but I'm going to, woke. All right? to its reality. Thank you, my friends in the corner. Appreciate your support for that. But it brought me, and this is what the Holy Spirit began to speak into my heart, is that, hey, let's seize the opportunity. Let's seize this opportunity, and let's do something that actually helps us better understand how to actually be the church out there, not just have church in here. Yeah? And so the idea is that, man, we want to be standouts in a culture that is not really looking toward God, leaning toward God. The Bible talked about this kind of stuff, that people are going to see things differently, and there's going to be tensions, and people are going to call right wrong, and all that kind of stuff. And I think we're really seeing a lot of that. But here we are, if you're with us today and you are a follower of Christ Jesus, we have a call by God to stand out, to be in the world, but not be of the world. That's what this series really is all about. I've intentionally slowed down. I'm going very, very slow, which is not my normal, but I feel like God just spoke to me and said, Josh, I want you to just go slow. I want you to, this is the way that I've been saying it. I'm doing my best, and I hope it's working. I want to give our church tools. Like, I want you to be able to use some things that are going to help you stand out in this culture. And what I'm trying to do is just get them on the bottom shelf where everybody can get one. I don't want it to be hard for you to reach it. I just want you to be able to say, that's a tool I can use. That's a tool I can use. That's what this series has been about. So let's get started. I'm going to start with some review, and then we'll jump right into today's topic. Week number one, this was the title of the message. We said, I am a disciple. You remember that? Some of you guys, we said it together. I am a disciple. And we just for a week reminded ourselves, some of us had to renew our minds and actually change the way we think to get into a place where we recognize I am a disciple. What that is a follower of Jesus. So if you are a Christian, if you follow Christ, you're a disciple. And we talked about the realities of being a disciple. Jesus said, hey, if you'll follow me, I'm going to actually make your mission about people. So if you're a disciple, there's a call that we need to answer to. There's a personal responsibility that disciples have to go be disciple makers. Jesus said, I want you to go make disciples of all people everywhere. I want you to preach the gospel, or we use the word proclaim, just to communicate the hope of Jesus to everybody. You guys remember that if you were with us? If not, that catches you up. Week number two, we said this, I am a vessel. So I need to understand that I've been called by God as a Christ follower to be a disciple maker. That's what disciples do. But it was also important that we understand, like, I'm a vessel, and this is someone to be filled. And this vessel can be filled with a lot of things. It can be filled with good things. It can be filled with bad things. It can be filled with distracting things. And we talked about the reality that, hey, as vessels of Christ, we have a responsibility to develop personal relationships. Like, my relationship with God is the most important relationship I have. I need to establish a personal relationship and fill my vessel, because the Bible says the things that are inside of me are the things that are going to come out of me. And so not only is this relationship essential, these relationships are essential. I need to build personal relationships with people around me so that what's in me comes out of me and impacts those people. Yeah? Today, we're going to go into part number three, and we're going to talk about this character in the Bible that I really like. A lot of people know about him, even if you don't have a church background or whatever. You've probably heard of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, JTB, you know, as some people might nickname him. John the Baptist, at the time that we're going to grab this reading, so we're going to go to the first chapter of the book of John in the New Testament of the Bible. John the Baptist is pretty well known at this point. Like, he's getting a lot of attention from a lot of people. And so John's in this place where, you know, the people are kind of flocking to him. If you were with us last week, you remember we talked about Jesus being very popular at the time that he encountered Zacchaeus, and how he was well known and people were flocking and flooding to Jesus. That's not happening in Jesus's life at the time of what we're going to read today. It's happening, though, in John the Baptist's life. Here's what I want to say right out of the gate. I believe this is just my thoughts and opinion. If you don't like it, you can pitch it and it'd be perfectly fine. I actually think that John the Baptist is a beautiful representation of what the body of Christ should be. I'm going to look at that. I want to look at that today. I want to show you kind of why. I see him, the individual, as a representation of what you and I as the body of Christ should be. Let's get started. Okay, so I'm going to take you to John chapter 1, verse 6, and just walk with me slow if you're willing. I promise I'm going to make this applicable to you. But the Bible, this verse starts out by saying this: God sent a man. I like this. Now, if you're a lady, don't let this offend you. Because what it's saying is that now in this case, it's specifically speaking about John the Baptist, who was in fact a man. But in the context of John the Baptist representing the body of Christ, can I tell you something? God sends people. Amen. In fact, I'm going to pause right here a second, and I just want to kind of emphasize something. And if you'll go back and watch the last two installments, if you've missed them, I make this point emphatically. God has zero plan B to reach the earth with the hope of Jesus outside of you and I. Amen. We are the plan. There is no backup plan. This is why Jesus said, I want you to go and proclaim the gospel to everybody. This is why he said, I want you to go and make disciples of all people. God has zero backup plan for the world hearing about Jesus other than the body of Christ. God sent a man, John the Baptist in this context. God sent a people in our context today. We represent that man. God sent a man, John the Baptist, and what was his responsibility? To tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. We're actually going to dig into that a little bit today, all right? I could have highlighted the whole verse, and then what's the point? I should have just kept it white. So you understand what I'm saying? We're actually going to get into that portion because he has this responsibility. And I want you to take this personally. I want you to make this about you. That God is sending you, okay, to tell about the light. That's Jesus. John chapter 1, you can read about it. It clearly defines the light to be Jesus, all right? So that people can believe how? Because of our testimony. We're going to dig into that today. All right, verse 8, John himself was not the light. He was simply what? A witness to talk about the light. His responsibility is to proclaim Jesus. Can you find yourself Christ's follower in John the Baptist? Now, before we move on, because John the Baptist is getting this attention and people are kind of coming to him, and I mean, he's talking about Christ and the Messiah and all this stuff, and he's baptizing people. I mean, the guy is becoming pretty well known. People are interested. And as you can imagine, like anything else, when people get fans, people also get critics. John has both of these. You're going to have both of these. Just get ready for it. Some people are going to love you. Other people, they're not. Okay? And John the Baptist finds himself in this place. And so what happens is these people are coming, and they're trying to figure out, like, John, like, who are you and what's going on and what's your angle and what are you trying to do? And so he's getting this questioning. And the questioning is like, hey, are you one of these great prophets from the old scriptures that we read about reincarnated into life today? Like, come on, tell us more about yourself. Inquiring minds want to know, right? So they're asking the question. We'll pick up the story here. They say, well, then who are you? Because they actually want to know, like, are you the Messiah? Are you Jesus? He's like, nah, that's not me. Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? Now watch this. John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, and what did he say? I am a voice. I'm a voice. I'm a person crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. This is you and me. Title of my message today, I am a voice. This is who I am. I'm a voice. And the responsibility that I, that you, that we, Christ's Father, and I recognize, by the way, right now I'm only talking to those who follow Jesus. If that is not you, thanks for being here. Hang with me. I got something for you too. But I recognize this is who I'm talking about. And so us, Christ followers, Christians, those whose hope is in Jesus, we have a call. And our call is to be a voice to the world around us. What is a voice? Let's define it. I've been trying to do this for every title. A voice is this: it's a life that speaks for Christ. A life that speaks for Christ. So my voice isn't just my mouth. and my vocal cords and my words. It's my life. This is the voice that I'm called to be. 100 years ago, I had this t-shirt, and I don't remember who quoted it. You could probably find it. But on my t-shirt, it said, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. That's what my shirt said. I liked it. I thought it was cool. And I think it could be very, very true. Because the voice that we're called by God to be is the voice where our life is saying something, not just our words. The problem, because remember this series is about sharing our faith, we've been using the word evangelism. A lot of people have a bad association to that word, a bad association to people who call themselves evangelists. And part of the problem is that their words don't match their life. So my voice is like all of me. It's like it's everything about me. Now, we're not obviously perfect, but at the same time, we are called by God. Remember part number one, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus, and what Jesus asks disciples to do is go make disciples. Part number two, I'm a vessel. Relationships are very important. I need to establish my relationship with my Heavenly Father so that I can establish relationships with other people and then have credibility to have a voice where my life, my words, my conduct, my character says something about who I follow. Am I making sense? And so what I know happens is that a lot of people, like we get uneasy. Like, well, that sounds like a lot. I don't know like that I have it in me. Like, Pastor, I'm just trying to like get myself in order. I got issues. I don't have it all figured out. I don't really know my Bible that well. I don't know how to pray. Like, I don't know that I can be a voice. I'm still just trying to follow right now. And I'm trying to, like, fill the vessel with the right things and not distracted things and not wrong things. And I don't know if voice is a place I'm at. I don't really know. And I can sense in some people the pushback of, like, I don't think I'm ready. The thing I find most interesting, though, is that Jesus never gave us, like, a mark to hit. It was never like, well, once you get here, well, then go make disciples. He just said, follow me and make disciples. So the truth is, like, we have a responsibility. So I'm going to help you, okay, truly. Like, this might be my favorite installment because this is probably the most practical. And I just like stuff that, like it feels good on Sunday, but help me on Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm trying to do for you, all right? So I'm going to bring it to a verse. We actually looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Acts chapter 4, the members of the council were amazed. I'm not going to get into the context for time. Just follow with me for a second. They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And here's why they were amazed, and I love it. The Bible says they could see they were ordinary men. They didn't have any special training. Like, the Bible is basically saying, like, there wasn't anything awesome about them. They didn't look like leaders. They didn't sound like leaders. They were ordinary people. They didn't have a lot of special skills and training, but they also recognized them as people who had been with Jesus. And because the vessel was full, the boldness came. And because they had so much of God inside of them, it just permeated out of them, and people were amazed by it. And so what I want to encourage you to do is stop disqualifying yourself because you don't know Bible verses yet, and you're not confident in the way you pray yet, and you're not in a life group yet. And I just started coming to church. I don't even know half the stuff you guys are saying. I'm trying to catch on. Like, it's okay. It is okay, because here's what you need to hear me say. You don't have to be specially trained. You don't have to be extraordinary. You can just be a regular person and be powerfully used by God. Amen. Because the fact of the matter is, it really isn't us anyway. It is God in us. The only good in me is God in me. Because by myself, tell you right now. I'm like real human, you know? And so the question then becomes, okay, all right, then how? How? Okay, you're telling me I'm a voice, I'm a vessel, I'm a disciple, you're telling me all this stuff, you're telling me I can just be ordinary and I don't need special training and I can actually be a voice for Christ. The question becomes, how? Wouldn't you agree? All right, let's talk about it. You ready? Here we go. If you're a note taker, write some things down. One, listen, we are going to be a voice by sharing our own stories. You have a story to tell. You're going to share your personal story. So let me contextualize it just a little bit. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be able to debate back and forth with somebody and prove Christ. You don't have to do that. What God wants you to do is just talk about what he's done in you. Like what has God done for you? So I can tell you this, my wife I don't know how I'm not obese. She's unbelievable in so many ways. One of those ways is the woman can bake. I'm talking about I'm like Food Network bake, delicious stuff. And she can make all kinds of cupcakes that are stuffed with good things. Whatever, man, it's incredible. And some of you have tasted them and taste and see that Lauren's cupcakes are good. I think that's a Bible verse. And she can make them. Now, let me tell you what I cannot do. Make a cupcake. I can't make very much more than fire in the kitchen. That's not my wheelhouse. I can't tell you what goes into the cupcake, but I can tell you how good it is. I can. Like, it is the best thing ever, man. It's this one, the strawberry cheesecake one, and the espresso bean one, and all that. Like, I can tell you how good it is, but I couldn't tell you the first thing about how to get there. Listen to me. You don't have to be able to know all the things about how did Jesus get here, and how do you know that he's this, and blah, 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 and where's that in the Bible? I don't know, but I know one thing. He's transforming my life. I know something, that I'm experiencing something I've never experienced before. What I know is that God is at work in me. And no, I don't have all the answers. And no, I can't win a debate with you. You sound like a pretty intelligent person. I don't know. But what I do know is that it tastes really good. Amen. And it's changing me. This is my voice. This is the strength that I have. In fact, the Bible even says that people overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Like, that's the cross side. That's like the stuff where Jesus, you know, changed the game. That's the stuff. Maybe you don't fully understand all that yet, but it's not just the blood of the Lamb. It goes on to say, and the word of their testimony. That's your story. That's what God's done in you. So, like, I don't know all that yet. I'm trying to learn. I want to know God more. My vessel, I'm trying to get it full of godliness. All I know is God's doing a great thing in me. And listen to me very, very carefully. If God has been good to you, you have something good to say. Amen. You do. So, watch this. I just like to back up what I say, you know, with verses. I just think it's healthy because it really don't matter what I think. What matters is what the Bible says. Bible says this, 1 Peter 3:5, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared. This is what we're doing. Our series is to prepare you to stand out. So always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give them the reason for the hope that you have. Your hope. What has God done in you? Say that. Declare that. Be a speaker to people about what God has done in you. I'll share a quick story really fast so that we can end on time. I'm a soldier. Once upon a time, I was in the Army. I deployed back in 2005. And in the Army, and this may be true in every part of the service, I don't know. I know we have a lot of servicemen and women in our church. But in the Army, you don't do anything alone, ever, ever, ever. You have what's called a battle buddy, all right? I know it's not the coolest sounding thing, but that's what they called it. Don't blame me. And the idea was that you're just always with someone else. You always do something together. And so when I was deployed, I had this assigned, quote, like, battle buddy. And it was this guy. We became friends, and we did everything together. Like, we would, travel together. We would bunk together, like, the whole deal. Like, everything was together. And I don't know if you've ever had those kind of, like, friendships where it was like, the best way I know how to describe it is, and I would even say to him, like, dude, I know one thing. Like, I could never survive this without you, but I think I'm going to kill you today. You know what I'm saying? You ever have one of those friends? Yeah, okay, I had. And so, best of friends, worst of enemies at any given moment on any given day, you know? And so anyway, just to get to the point, none of that matters to what I'm going to actually say. To get to the point, there was this moment. I can't remember what happened. I don't know, but something good happened to someone else, like another soldier in our unit. I can't remember what it was. And I just remember when I found out whatever it was, that I was like all excited, like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, dude, congratulations, well, that's so cool, you know, whatever. That was my response. And later, my friend, whose name I won't share with you today, later he pulled me aside and he was like, how do you do that? And I was like, well, you like do what? And he was like, and he was joking, but honest. He was like, when stuff, like when good stuff happens to people, you are genuinely excited for them. Which I'm like, okay. He's like, how do you do it? I'm like, I don't know. He said, because I'm like selfish. I'm wondering why it didn't happen to me. I'm actually a little put off by them because I wanted it to be for me. I don't understand. So how did you do it? And what I saw happen was a little door open. Little door opened. Remember? Because it said, be prepared to give an answer. I never talked about Jesus. I never said, hey, buddy, you're going to hell if you don't repent. I never said that stuff. What I did was just let my life communicate. I didn't even recognize that he saw that as something that stood out. I didn't even recognize it. I was just being who I am. But what he saw was like, how can you be that? Like, you're really happy. Like, it's not even fake. Door opened. And I got the opportunity to share my faith. I'm proud to announce that later in that year, I also had the opportunity to lead him to Jesus. And it, yeah, all glory to God, really. Like, it wasn't a strategy. I wasn't like, I'm going to be really happy for this person. And so, no, like, you get it. I mean, only God can work in people's hearts, and he used that. There was something about me that stood out, and he asked the question, and the door opened, and all I'm saying is that when we believe, hey, I am a disciple, I'm following Jesus, I am a vessel, and I'm going to fill it with the best things I can because I'm a voice, and I need to be a life that speaks for Jesus by the way that I live and act and communicate and treat people and say, like, whatever it is, I am a voice. Doors open, people ask. Why? Because you start to stand out. What is it about you? And then the opportunity comes for you to just share the hope that you have. Come on, somebody. All right, last one, and then we're almost done right here. So we're gonna share our personal story. You have a story to tell. And then here's where, honestly, I hope to stretch our church. I hope to grow our church a little bit, okay? So here we go. Ready? We're gonna give a personal invitation. So let me just walk you really quickly from all the way from part one all the way to this point. I'm a disciple. I have a personal responsibility to make disciples, right? I'm a vessel. I have a personal responsibility to develop relationships. I'm a voice. I have a personal responsibility to tell a story. It's my personal story. And then what it's all for is so that we can give people personal invitations, an invitation to Jesus. And there's a lot of ways to invite, isn't there? A lot of ways to invite. You could invite people to church. I'm gonna just hit a couple. Like, be creative. The Holy Spirit will lead you. You can invite people to church. And you could say, hey, come to my church. I will meet you at whatever service you prefer and you know, whatever it is. And I promise you, this is the promise that I make to our church family, that no matter who the communicator is, no matter who it is, no matter what the topic is, 100% of the time, we're going to give people an opportunity to meet Jesus. 100%. If we haven't done that, we have failed our mission. And so there's a way to invite them. Maybe you invite them to your watch party. Hey, you know what? I'm actually not going to the building right now. I want to be in community, but I want to do it in a smaller atmosphere. And so maybe you could just join me at my house or community center or whatever. I'll make you a couple blueberry pancakes, hand you a cup of coffee. Come on over. I'd love to have you. It'd be great. You might be more comfortable in atmosphere because we're friends. We've developed a relationship. That's a way to invite. That's an idea. Maybe it's your life group. You just say, hey, I'd love, just come out and hang out with my friends. Me and a couple of the guys do whatever you do on Thursday nights, and I think you'd really enjoy it. Or, hey, me and I hang with these couples. I think you and your family would enjoy coming, and we do it on whatever night at this time. Or, hey, you know, me and the ladies, we get together, and this, whatever it is, just, it's a way to create an invitation. Hey, why don't you come and just hang with me? Because now I'm getting you around other people that have a hope, too. But what I really hope can happen is that we've put enough tools on enough shelves that are low enough where you can just invite them to meet Jesus right then and right there in that moment. So, okay, can I help you? Watch. I'll show you something. So good. All right. You don't have to know all the Bible. You don't have to know all the stories, but I want to help you know something about the Bible. It's going to infuse you with confidence for this moment. Here we go. It's found in Romans. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You will be saved. So this is a tool. This is something you can confidently know. The Bible says that when people believe in their hearts and confess with their mouths, that, you know what? I think you're right about Jesus. I think all this stuff that you've been doing and the way that I think you're, this is true. Something's changing in my heart. There's a truth that when the heart changes and the mouth declares it, salvation happens. Here's a tool. I want you to know this so you can have confidence to give an invitation. Watch this, verse 10. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And so, my hope, church, is that we can grab some tools as followers of Jesus. We can fill our vessels and just build a relationship with God so that the relationships we build with other people will just permeate with God's goodness and grace, and our life begins to speak and we become a voice and we get to a place where we're confident enough to just share our story. Maybe for you, boldness is going to be that you just drop in the idea that, like, Jesus did that for me. God blessed me. I'll pray for you. For some of you, that's going to be some of the voice that you're going to use. For others of you, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. Hey, go slow with this person. Just love on them for a while. Just be kind to them. Just be generous. Whatever it is, be forgiving. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of every Christ follower. He'll lead you on how to connect relationally with these other people, all in the hopes that we give the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to give you an invitation. And what I hope is that you and I will have the confidence to give that invitation in real time to those people that we've established those relationships with. This year, I've heard from surprisingly, not like dozens, but multiple people who have actually told me, they say, Pastor Josh, the prayer that you lead us in at the end of every service, like, I've memorized it, and I was able to lead my friend to Christ, and I just used your prayer, and what I found out was, they were like, I don't know that I actually would have had the confidence to do it, but I had that, and I used it. And what I saw was it was just a tool. Never one time did I ever set out to say, like, this is the prayer to know Jesus. Like, there's nothing special. Praise God. There's nothing special about the words. Nothing. It's just words. It's about what's happening in their heart that's really important. And then the words are just guiding them to affirm that. Does that make sense? But I was intentional. Like, I don't know. I said a prayer the way, like, I see it, I guess. And then I just decided, you know what? Because I always ask the whole church to say it, and because I want the people saying it for the first time to be comfortable and confident. I want our church to be comfortable and confident. So if it becomes rhythmic, then we can say it with more confidence. And I just felt like we were just tearing down barriers of resistance for people to know Jesus. And that's why it's kind of the same. I'm just letting you behind the curtain or into my head or whatever you want to call it. And what I realized later was people were taking this as a tool. And that tool gave them the confidence to say, I didn't have to invite them to youth group yet. I invited them to Jesus first. Listen, disciple, vessel, voice, I'd like you to have that confidence too. And so now that we know, there's a scripture that says when they believe in their heart and they confess with their mouth, they're saved. They're saved now. When our lives begin to permeate the goodness of God and we become a voice, I pray that there are some tools way down low where you can just grab one and then you can use these tools to ultimately do what God has called us to do, make disciples. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, we're going to go into that prayer right now, because Maybe you're in this room tuning in online in some form through podcast or video or whatever it may be, and you don't know Jesus. I want to lead you in this prayer because I just believe if you've hung in this far, God's been working on your heart. Your heart's changing. I want to tell you very quickly, God's been very, very good to me. He saved me from my sin, and he's constantly transforming my life every day, and I thank him for it. He'll do the same for you. In fact, he longs to know you personally. So if that's you and you say, yes, I want to begin that relationship. Today's the day that I want to be saved. Then I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Church, you know how we do it. So I'm going to ask everybody in this building to confidently say it after me out loud so that those who are saying it for the first time can say it with confidence. Let's say it together. Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you just put your